You're listening to the People's Podcast.
And that's why you're sitting there with a bad leg. And that's why I kicked your leg out of your leg.
On thingsdezsays.net.
The show that lets you spear Monday through the ropes to the outside.
I feel like I'm in a French horror movie.
That does sound very French, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's the People's Podcast. Happy Monday to not your ass, because that's Saturday's gimmick.
Yes. Happy Monday to your head.
Happy Monday to your front.
Your frontal lobe.
How are you for us?
I'm extremely tired because I stayed up all night watching a certain show.
Watching The Battleground?
Watching The Battleground.
I woke up at 8:30 this morning and I watched the show.
I woke up at 5:30 when I DM'd you.
That was very foolish.
It was. I wish I had done it now.
I watched the show and I just finished, minutes ago, I finished this program. And at least it was better than last year's Battleground, I guess.
Well.
Although last year's Battleground was one of the worst shows, I think, ever.
It was almost as bad as the History of Wrestling on the TNA show that they had the other month.
What?
Well, maybe not.
They had a History of Wrestling show on TNA?
I mean, the Heroes of Wrestling, that pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. Man. It was almost that bad. But Heroes of Wrestling had Jake Roberts screwing up the rules.
How do you get an awesome promo? Yeah.
Awesome, yes. Awesome is, I guess, subjective.
Indeed. Oh. If you ever want to hear talk about the worst promos in the history of wrestling.
We should do that show one day. Unless we've done it already and I've forgotten.
The worst promos in the history of wrestling?
Yeah. Have we done that yet?
No.
Oh, good.
Add that to the list. Eventually.
At some point, we'll do it. On a throwback vibe or something.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, there was a pay-per-view last night on the WWE Network and pay-per-view. And, yeah, it was a show.
It started off really well.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that, but Jesus Christ. Full disclosure, I paid zero attention to this show, besides the opener. And, like, the last couple minutes of the main event, I was, I was doing other things.
Remember how, back in the day, they used to have pay-per-views just to build for specifically other pay-per-views?
Yes.
This was one of those.
That's how it felt. Indeed. It really did feel that way. And I guess now that you're on the WWE Network, you have license to do that because people aren't paying $50 for every show.
Indeed.
And if they are, and they're still living in the U.S., then they don't
matter.
They're
idiots.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was one of those shows. You're right. It was a crossover show. And some of the crossover was really good, and it made me really want to see SummerSlam, which some of that build we'll talk about in a minute.
SummerSlam is always one of those big shows. They always build it up beforehand. They always trying to do a cross pay-per-view. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Most of the time it doesn't.
Yeah, they built every SummerSlam except for the one I went to, where they built one match, which was Lesnar and Triple H. Other than that, it was just...
Well, no, you had the CM Punk heel turn.
Yeah, but that had been already... That had actually been built toward at the 1000th Raw, so at SummerSlam it was just... The storyline there was... The storyline there was really about AJ and Punk. Remember that?
No, that's SummerSlam, I don't think.
Yes, it was. I was there.
That was the CM Punk versus Big Show versus Cena match.
Yeah, and you had, you were still playing off the AJ.
Oh, yeah, AJ was general manager, right? Yeah.
It was pretty late.
That's when you saw the official unveiling of Team Hell No.
Well, the beginning, yeah. They had their match.
Yeah.
It was a match. Actually, that was the night before they started having those awesome anger management segments.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that was great. I was part of history in that case.
And you saw Ziggler lose to Jericho, which is rare.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we saw someone else lose to Jericho tonight, which I was pretty surprised by.
I think they're building to the win at SummerSlam, if I'm honest.
Well, obviously, but it was very unexpected.
It was a very low-key match. It wasn't anything special.
No, it didn't feel special at all. The opener, though, was something special,
And they actually did a 2 out of 3 falls match very correctly.
It was very well done. It was not the cliche that I always make fun of, It was.
Yeah, you didn't have the actually, two quick pins.
Yeah, it was awesome. Every fall they built to it really well, especially the third one, as it should be. Because the third fall should always the third fall should always be the most important, man, when you're doing these things.
And you were wrong. Sure they was. Didn't take the tag team titles off the Usos.
I for sure thought they would. You know, because they wrestled each other like 1,000 times over the last 2 months. So I figured at some point they need to do a title switch. But they have done it. And if they wrestle again, I will be so pissed off. I've seen so many times.
Yeah, but this is a 2 out of 3 4. This seems pretty final.
It was funny to me because when did they announce this would be 2 out of 3 falls?
They didn't.
So that was very random. But,
well, they did announce, they mentioned it on Raw last week, but I didn't remember when they announced it. I'm like, huh?
Okay. I didn't know that this was going to be 2 out of 3 falls until they announced it.
I'm telling you, the Usos have become the tag team of the year thus far.
They're pretty good.
I don't think they've had a bad match.
And so they did the match, and I was like, man, I've seen these guys wrestle so many times. And then WWE,
what more can they do?
WWE, being the trolls that they are, said, you're not just going to see them wrestle once tonight. You're going to see them wrestle 3 times, potentially. Hey.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
And every time it will be something different. You'll have the Wyatt's using their power in the first fall. The Usos being a little bit sneaky and quick in the second, and then
Luke Harper kicking everybody's ass in the third fall, kicking people and clotheslining people and diving and shit,
and Samoan dropping people.
Yes. So yeah, they managed to have a really awesome opener. Definitely the best opener they've had in years. It was so awesome. So good.
Usos winning the double splash.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, one splash isn't good enough.
They did so many great near falls, so many great kick out spots, so many power spots. They really pushed the clothesline as this ultimate finisher of death.
JBL must be so happy.
Yeah. Yeah, now that he's not using it, it's the move of death.
Yeah. Well, even when he was using it, it was a move of death. It was, that thing hurts.
It was just an awesome match. If you need to go back and watch one match, it was this one. It was just so good.
Yep, agreed.
So good. And long, too, which you don't expect out of an opener. But it was very
long. Yeah, it seemed. It was like 25 minutes, I think.
Yeah, super long match. Good for them.
Ah, the old school booking technique.
Yeah, indeed.
I think Mr. Levesque is trying to push the opener a little bit more. Because it's the second time in a couple of months that the Usos and the Wyatts have opened. They opened up Money in the Bank, too.
Yeah, I think they've finally just been put in that position where, all right, you're our opening guys and go do stuff.
Yeah, go do stuff. Then we were meant to have the Ambrose Rollins match. I say meant to.
Yes. Oh, that's right. That was next. You know,
when you have the worst hit interviewer in the history of life, you need to do something.
So, yes, you had Tom Phillips. I would say Byron Saxton is worst. Actually, but yet I can't stand Byron Saxton. He asks,
I can't stand this guy. This guy's
at least he asks an okay question. Byron Saxton asks like, oh, so what are you going to say about this? He's like, why don't you ask a less stupid question?
Well, to be fair, he asked a question that Seth Rollins didn't answer,
which is awesome. You know, you're a great interviewer when the guy doesn't answer your questions.
Yeah.
So they did the promo, and Seth Rollins, he said words about stuff, and then Dean Ambrose attacked him, and he
from behind like a heel.
He killed him. Well, he's crazy. He's possessed with hate.
He's a lunatic. Yes. He should be handcuffed, as JBL kept telling me every 5 minutes.
And he attacked him, and then Triple H was like, no, stop, leave. And he kicked Dean Ambrose out, despite them scheduled to have a match. And so there was no match
ironically,
now for us.
I'd love to ask the question, how many times does Triple H attack someone in the back?
Yeah, well, he's an authority figure now. This nonsense cannot fly any longer.
Oh, he's no longer a degenerate?
No. He had to ex Dean Ambrose.
As Shawn Michaels put it, he's become one of them?
Yeah, he has. This is old news now. So, although Dean Ambrose was kicked out of the building, he and Seth Rollins met many times throughout this show.
I think this is good to play also the injury that Rollins picked up on Raw. I don't think they were building to SummerSlam, but I think they were protecting Rollins' leg too. You don't want someone to kick the leg out of his leg.
I'm pretty sure that injury was a work. So he's all
right. Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's all right. But they're doing a great job building it for SummerSlam. I thought this is going to be awesome. I thought they were going to have a really good match tonight. Not technically, but just a good fight. But then I felt like it would end in a DQ and they could do a street fight at SummerSlam.
But this is better. Like, I think they did this better.
Yeah, I think this is better. I feel like you can still have a big match at SummerSlam and keep it going beyond SummerSlam if you want.
Indeed.
I like where they're going.
Unless Mr. Rollins doesn't cash in, which is likely because they've cashed in like two out of the last 3 years
at SummerSlam. Yeah, I guess you
could. Look statistics.
Yeah, but I don't think you'll see a cash in at SummerSlam.
Oh no!
I think you'll see
you're going to see Plan C at SummerSlam.
Oh, I love Plan C. I love Paul Heyman. By the way, it was
Plan
C
at SummerSlam. I reckon
it was so subtle and so in your face at the same time.
Indeed,
it was awesome. Then you had Paige versus AJ.
Yeah, it was a match.
They wrestled and they did stuff. The announcer spent the whole match arguing about the word frenemy.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the fact that they had a decent match. It wasn't as good as the match Paige had last pay-per-view, but yeah.
Yeah, they did stuff. AJ won.
I don't understand where they're going with this. Paige wanted to win, but didn't want to win, but wanted to win, but didn't want to win.
She wanted to win. They're doing the respect angle, and Paige is going to turn heel on AJ. And then they'll just...
No, I think AJ should turn heel on Paige, but anyway.
Well, AJ's the babyface, clearly.
I know. Stupid WWE universe.
Paige
anyway.
Isn't even a good babyface, though. At least we should try her as a heel.
Well, she's, like you said, if she's half as good as her mother, we're going to have some fun.
I feel like being a heel is just in their genes, the Knight family genes.
She's going to cut people.
When the Knight family was created, God said, "Let there be heel blood in them."
Let there be heel blood.
Heel blood.
That should
be a stable. Dolph Ziggler can lead.
When the heel bloods.
He can read the... Dolph Ziggler can lead hashtag heel blood.
Why Dolph Ziggler?
Because he used to have the hashtag heel gimmick for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it didn't work, did it?
They should start bringing back all of the old stables and just putting hashtags before them.
Hashtag DX.
Like, remember when they used to bring back stables and call them like the new rockers or like the new...
Oh, yeah.
They should do that again, but this time with hashtags. The hashtag rockers. The
hashtag NWO.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so terrible. The hashtag new blood.
Hashtag nation of domination.
There you go. Or just hashtag
with your random white guy in it.
Yes. So anyway, they did the match. What happened after that?
What did happen after that?
You were so confident that you knew what happened. I didn't bother to bring up the results here.
Hey, who cares? Then it was a Jericho Wyatt match. Because remember, they had that brawl between Rollins and Ambrose. Remember, he declared himself the winner and such things.
Oh, yes. He came out and he did stuff. He could have sworn something happened before that.
Eh. Nothing of note. Oh, you know what the highlight of the show was? Bad news, Barrett.
Yes, he was good.
He was good.
Oh, my God. They stalled so much here. I'm looking at Dave Meltzer's rundown of stuff that happened. Here's what happened after the match that we just talked about, Paige and AJ. You had Randy Orton and Kane talking.
Yeah, that's why I didn't reference that, because they were just talking.
Then they had a commercial for Takis, and then a commercial for SummerSlam, and a commercial movie.
Which, by the way, sucks. I hate the commercial for SummerSlam. Anyway.
Then they had the panel talk, and then had Rusev and Lana come out, and they had
the match with Swagger. That's it.
And they did a long, long promo for Lana. This one lasted forever.
Shut up.
Shut up, America. You are stupid. I hate you. I make her sound like Super Mario instead of angry Russian.
It's me, Lana.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, that should be their intro. Just make it sound more ominous. Oh, man. I'm looking at... I was skimming the Observer website while we were talking, looking for the results that they have. And I found that they got some criticism here from the media for this segment, Lana and...
Oh, come on now.
You know.
They didn't reference the thing that happened on the Thursday at all.
Yeah.
I think that's an unfair criticism, if I'm honest.
Yeah, the media's just hitting on the fact that, they alluded to what happened on Thursday. And
not really, though, did they? They didn't really allude to it.
Well, she did, yeah. She talked about how America is responsible for the current events that have been happening because of Russia.
In Afghanistan and Iraq.
Well, she mentioned Russia.
Well, just because she mentioned Russia doesn't mean she was referring to the Ukraine crisis. Otherwise, she would have mentioned the Ukraine crisis.
What else could you possibly be referring to, though?
I don't know. Russian mafia. I don't know. All these things.
Let's see.
I want Rusev to have mob connections now. Anyway.
The Washington Post, the Daily Mail, but they don't count.
No one reads the Daily Mail.
The New York Post, the Drudge Report. Oh, these are some
the
big
Drudge Report. Wow. The big hitters.
That's big time. And they've issued a statement, have WWE. This is real-time reporting.
Paul Levesque actually wrote a statement?
Yeah, the story between Rusev and Lana has been a part of WWE programming for 3 months, said WWE in a statement.
Correct.
So, it says
look,
here,
they've
the
become
story...
a little bit better with their sensitivity. I mean, they could have gone the Muhammad Hassan route.
Last night's segment during WWE Battleground was in no way referring to the Malaysia Airlines tragedy. So there.
Again,
media.
Correct. Piss off.
Yes, piss off indeed.
It was a match.
Yeah, they wrestled. You know what? I've noticed that they're finally giving Rusev a lot longer to work with guys.
Which isn't good.
It's not particularly good, but he needs to do it at some point. He's not.
Yeah, but he's in the mold of Goldberg and Ryback and them. Don't give him too long.
Well, otherwise he's just going to be a guy on the card who just has a match.
Yeah, but that's the point. He is just going to be that guy. Nothing's going to come of Rusev. He's going to be Vladimir Kozlov all over again.
He's supposed to feud with Cena at some point. You're aware of this?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
That's what he's being set up for.
Oh.
Well.
Shoot me now.
Swagger lost by count out. And
they're going to have the match at SummerSlam.
And then he was beat up afterwards. And
he got the accolade.
America was sad. There was a long spot here where Rusev was in the Patriot lock.
Yeah, this was actually pretty good. This built him quite well.
Which now that Swag is a babyface, the Patriot Lock move, it just sounds so cheesy that's the name of
it.
The Patriot Lock.
I wanted to come out to Hulk Hogan's music now.
He should feud with Swagger over the music.
Yes. Swagger's going to put him in the Patriot Lock.
Zeb Coulter should cut a promo on Hogan and say that Jack Swagger is a real American.
Yeah. We the people and all that.
We the people, brother.
Yeah. Well, he'll probably mess that up, too. We're the persons.
We're the persons. That's awesome. Let's see here. This is very professional. I'm just scrolling through wrestling websites.
See, this is how tired we are.
Oh, boy.
I told you, it was a nothing show. It's a crossover show, so we don't really care for us.
Yeah.
Oh, they had the obligatory parking lot brawl.
Yes.
Seth Rollins is an idiot. Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I don't need security. You know, forget the fact that a lunatic is after me. I don't need any security.
Yeah. Well, first you had Ambrose in the building. He somehow managed to re-enter.
I don't know how. I mean, and they what did he buy? Was crime time outside? Did he buy a ticket or something?
That's probably what happened. And so they fought inside, and then security took Ambrose away. And then Ambrose came back, and it was actually a really good fight inside.
Yes, it was.
So they keep playing up Ambrose and Rollins with this brawl, and it was great. And that was not the last we would see of Mr. Ambrose.
Oh, he was hiding in a trunk.
Yeah.
As you do.
They did a bunch of stuff in Jericho versus Wyatt, although it was a pretty slow match.
Very slow.
It was Jericho doing a lot of the selling for Wyatt, which was good. Clearly, Jericho is a guy who wants to make Wyatt look good, but it was pretty slow.
It was. Hopefully they have a better match at SummerSlam.
Yeah. And Jericho won.
I'm glad to see the Codebreaker actually worked as a finisher, by the way.
Yeah, when he won with the Codebreaker, I was like, oh, he won. Because you're so used to seeing guys kick out of the Codebreaker now. Like, the move that wins matches for Jericho is the walls. So he won with the
Codebreaker. Not even the walls. Mainly the Lion Salt.
I don't know. I'm more familiar with seeing
I've hardly ever seen anybody win with the walls. Him win with the walls.
When was the last time he went on with the Lion Salt? WCW.
Nah, he's won in WWE lots of times.
If he wins in WWE, it's with the Codebreaker or the Walls of Jericho.
Mm, okay.
Or the Lion Tamer, which I've seen him use twice in WWE.
Ah, yes, the Lion Tamer.
And for some reason, the announcers recognize it. I don't get it.
Why wouldn't you recognize it?
Well, because they're trained to not acknowledge anything good that comes out of WCW.
Well, you know.
It's a move that we don't know.
Apart from Sting.
Well, now they acknowledge Sting. It took him, what, 13
years? Well,
he was
signed to the company in Nashville.
Well.
No, to be fair, they've always acknowledged Sting when they reference WCW. That's a bit unfair.
On DVDs that nobody watches. So Seth Rollins was leaving a building, and he was attacked again. Dean Ambrose was hiding in a trunk, as you said. It was pretty funny. It was kind of cartoony, but it was kind of funny.
I love the fact that you can hear their sneak. It's just squeaking all over the place. Like, what? Get some proper floors.
Bad News Barrett's still a heel.
Awesome.
He came out and he said that Florida sucked, and I can...
Only old people live there.
Yes. I can't disagree with Mr. Barrett. and then... Okay, so Miz is the...
No, let's not talk about it. I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah. Miz is the new champ.
Sheamus, right. Dolph Ziggler's the new Intercontinental Champion. There. There's a gloss over the fact.
There's still no Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah. Ziggler nearly won, but then like he kind of tripped and fell and kind of eliminated himself.
He was pushed out by an invisible force.
Indeed.
I don't know who the champion is. I don't think there is one. Fatal four-way match. The announcers are playing it up like they've never seen a fatal four-way in their lives.
I know, right? Yeah, the fact that JBL has been in countless of them.
Yeah. So they wrestled.
The objective of this match was to make Roman Reigns look like a beast.
I suppose that was it. They did a crazy spot where the Reigns put a bunch of people through a barricade.
Well, it was only Randy Orton, not a bunch of people.
Randy Orton is a bunch of people.
What the hell?
He has the ego.
He's not just a man. He's a crowd.
Reigns has a... He likes spearing people a lot.
And growling afterward.
He needs to stop.
Why?
Because he does it too much.
Yeah, but that's his move.
Yeah, but, well, he needs other moves is the point I'm making.
It's like you saying, oh, yeah, but Randy Orton likes to RKO people.
No, but Randy Orton RKOs people, and then he wins. Reigns spears somebody, and then he spears somebody else, and then he spears somebody else, and it's like, why don't you just win with your...
Because he's not in a singles match. He has to watch his back, you see, Des.
Yeah, but you see you do him in tag matches, too.
Again, he has to watch his back, though.
Well, you guys have other moves, though. Reigns has approximately two moves.
How many does Cena have?
He has five moves, which is more than two last time I checked.
Not quite.
Seven, if you count the awkward Hurricane Rana he likes to pull out every now and again.
he likes to pull out every now and again.
And the crossbody that I've seen him do once.
The one that made him hurt his neck? Yeah that one.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But Cena can pull out new stuff when he needs to. And Reigns will eventually. I just think they need to be careful with that spear. Because
he's got a Superman punch.
It's a really special move, and it's really cool. But if he keeps doing it like that, it's going to be just a move.
Yeah, he's got... I mean... That spear has a legacy. Edge. That's it, really, isn't it?
Yeah. That's quite the legacy.
No one else matters. It is quite the legacy. No one else did the spear. No other bald-headed people did spears.
No. Don't be silly. No other bald-headed people that are really expensive to get.
Oh, really expensive.
So they just broke up each other's moves a lot, and then Cena eventually won.
As he does.
Yeah. So Orton came in, he gave Reigns the RKO, because it looked like Reigns was about to win. And then Kane was down.
Cena caught him.
Kane was down, because Kane and Orton had their falling out, which was a big deal.
Is this Kane's face turn?
I don't care. It was a big deal to the announcers. I did not give a shit about these two. And then Cena gave Orton the AA onto Kane, and he beat him, and he won, and he was happy.
And the authority didn't have a plan B. There was no plan B at the end of the show.
And then the show ended, and I was happy because I could come do this show. Yay!
We can look forward to SummerSlam, which is always a decent show.
It'll be fine. This was a show. Go watch the first match. Now.
That's all you need to watch. Now
Plan C. Okay.
Plan C will... When do you think Plan C will make his appearance?
Tonight.
You think?
Yeah. You only got 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah, right.
You got to start doing this thing. Now, I have hilarious gossip.
Oh, boy.
Involving one Mr. Vincent Russo.
Please don't tell me
now
he's going back to Stanford.
No, quite the contrary.
Okay.
Now, we were made aware of some rumors a few months ago that he was serving as a secret consultant for a certain Nashville-based company.
Yes.
Well, he adamantly denied those rumors, if you recall.
He did, didn't he? On his DVD, on his shoot DVD.
Now, last week...
No.
Last week, a reporter who I don't particularly enjoy reading, by the name of Mike Johnson...
Who I do enjoy reading.
He received an email from one Mr. Vince Russo. He was CC'd in this email. Mike Johnson.
From PW Insider, for those people who don't know.
Received an email that was sent, meant to be sent to Mr. Mike Tenay.
And that's hilarious.
The email was a series of announcing instructions from one Mr. Vincent Russo. So if you need
to Mr. Mike Tenay. Doesn't he check his send to thing?
Like, I think he does what I do, and I just type the first few letters of the person I want to email, and it'll autofill it. And I think Mr. Russo relies too heavily on his Apple machine.
Indeed, he does.
He forgot to check.
Because there are two people in wrestling journalism you don't want to send stuff like that. Dave Meltzer is one of them, and Mike Johnson is the other one.
Mike Johnson is the other one. And now, to Mike Johnson's credit, he is very ballsy. I'll give him that. He got on Twitter. He calls out Vince Russo and says, "See, I was right. Vince Russo is a part of Nashville. He is consulting Nashville. I received an email today." And Russo decides to deny this. He says, "See, I sent that email on purpose. It was a test. The wrestling journalist will print anything." And
well, when you get an email with Vince Russo giving Mike Tenay apparent instructions, you think the wrestling journalists are not going to print it?
Well, here's the funny thing. Because Johnson never printed the email. He has ethics.
He didn't compromise his ethics.
Exactly. He didn't compromise his ethics. But he said, all right, so Vince Russo says that a wrestling journalist will print anything. Well, here's what's going to happen, Russo. Because you sent me these things, and up until this point, I decided not to print your private email that was sent to me. So, he says, either you can admit and just tell the truth that you're a part of TNA, or I'm going to print this email that you say is fake. And if it's fake,
but I know it's real.
If it's fake and it was actually not meant for TNA, then you wouldn't have any problem with this getting printed on PW Insider. Well, a few hours later, Vince Russo goes on his website and makes a public statement. He says, "Yes, I'm working with Nashville." Now, the funny thing is, TNA was keeping this a secret. Everyone thought they were keeping it a secret because of Wrestle One. Wrestle One and the people out from Japan don't like Vince Russo because of the way he's portrayed Japanese talents. They think he's racist.
Yes.
Which is
case in point. Go and look at the Kai and Tai storylines from back in the day.
Yes. And this is all very fair. Or Young Dragons.
Oh, yes. The Young Dragons.
Our favorite.
Oh, come on. There were some hilarious storylines with them and the cat.
So they think he's racist. But
we're not saying that, by the way.
No,
we don't know. That.
Russo racist. So
Russo racist.
So I forget the guy's name, but he's like above Russo on the ladder. He negotiated with Muto and said basically, okay, Vince Russo is not going to be in charge of your talent. And in fact, Muto is very happy with the way Wrestle One characters have been portrayed on TNA television, which is good.
Mm.
Yes. That's fine. TNA has been trying to keep this a secret for us. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go on.
They've been trying to keep Vince Russo being employed by them a secret from Spike TV.
Why?
Because Spike TV also hates Vince Russo. How can you not hate this man?
Okay, so Time Warner hates Vince Russo. USA hates Vince Russo. Spike TV hates Vince Russo.
How does it feel to be Vince Russo and know that the world hates you?
The only people that like you are Booker T. The only person that likes you is Booker T.
So the fact that Spike TV had no idea that TNA was employing somebody they don't like behind them back and didn't tell them about it.
Considering your contract is up.
Exactly. Their contract is up in the fall and they haven't renewed yet. And you do something to piss them off like that. Good luck, TNA. Good luck to you. That's all I got to say. Good fucking.
Come on, Vince, I'm expecting a simulcast in the fall, Vince.
But it's going to be a simulcast with NXT if that happens, because they're on Thursday night.
That's awesome.
That would be great.
Triple H Triple H should do it.
He shows up on Impact and on the WWE Network. Oh, that'd be so great.
Triple H will be at NXT. They'll do a live NXT. And then in the middle, like, he'll just stand up at Universal at the Impact Zone. Just walk in. Hello.
It'll be Triple H's baby. Who buys TNA?
Triple H will buy TNA and put it on the network on like midnight on a Thursday.
Good. That way nobody has to deal with it. They should just be absorbed into NXT.
They should.
They should make these greenhorns like Bully Ray be in NXT.
Oh, no, I think, well, with the history that the Dudleys have with the WWE after they left, you never know.
That's true.
Samoa Joe will be in NXT.
Yeah.
Him and Kenta can have a match in NXT.
Oh, anyway. That's I just thought that was some great juicy.
It's stuff. Awesome.
It's been a while since we've done something juicy like that.
Mm. It's been a while since it's been a while since TNA have done something stupid, but they always do something stupid.
They exist. That in itself is stupid.
I wonder if that's a Vince Russo idea, bringing back the six-sided ring.
I don't know. No, Fraz. It was the fans. The fans voted. And TNA is all about giving their fans a say.
I'm not saying they have fans.
All five of them.
One of them's Dixie Carter. She doesn't count. Serge, Dixie, Dixie's father who finances everything.
And then, like, two random wrestlers. So even the people who work there don't care about TNA.
What's his name? The Cowboy James Storm, because he's an original. So him, he's one. And then Kurt Angle, because he wants more money.
Indeed. Jeff Hardy, because they let him do his stupid...
No, Jeff Hardy's not allowed to vote.
They let him do his stupid characters. And actually, Willow and Jeff Hardy count as two different people, so he voted twice. That's how that...
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they count as two different people.
Yeah.
And then, if they really wanted to get stupid, they could have Itchweed in there.
All right. Well, that's what happened. Let's go home.
Yeah, we're on the way to SummerSlam. That's all that matters. We're on the highway to hell.
Watch NXT.
Oh, wait, no, that's wrong year. Sorry.
Watch NXT. It was very good. Again, surprise.
How are my friend the VOD villains doing?
They're doing great. They will be in a epic confrontation this coming Thursday against Kalisto and a mystery partner.
Ooh.
The former Samurai Del Sol. They will, we will also have the epic title match between Charlotte and her BFF, former BFF, Summer Rae. That'll be happening.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Okay.
And last week we had the epic confrontation between Tyson Kidd and Sami Zayn.
Ooh.
Yes. So do watch NXT. It's a very good show. I watched that
one. Yes, do.
I watched it live, and I watched Raw, like, the Saturday after it aired, because I don't care.
I watched it yesterday night. Anyway.
Yeah, you're crazy. You blitzed Raw and the pay-per-view.
Yep.
I watched the pay-per-view.
That's how dedicated I am.
I'm not dedicated at all.
And ask Dez, what time did I get? I got up at 5:30 to get that pay-per-view, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I don't care enough about wrestling. Wrestling's stupid. All right. We're out. At Dez Delgadillo on Twitter, at The Wisp, at MonkeyPusher69. I don't know what's happening this week. I don't care. Stop.
Go back and listen to last week's Throwback Vibes. Just do it.
Yes. And Culture My Pop from Saturday was freaking awesome.
Fun. Awesome.
We broke apart the Time Warner or Comcast call that got everybody talking. That was great. So be there. We're on Amazon. Click on the Amazon link on thingsdoesays.net. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review. And if you don't, Faraz has got two words for you.
Piss off.